Well, I guess 2 weeks ago we started a series on some of the disciplines of the faith. Not that we like that word disciplines, but I believe God leads us into different areas that we need to develop in our lives and to challenge our lives in, and trust that as we go through these that you might be challenged in some of these discipline areas, and that you're asking the Lord what area would he like you to work on as we come into this next year. As well as that, when I bring up this idea of what I'm speaking on, different people feed things into my life. And I was challenged this past week that you need to look at that word, that book called Unoffendable. And so, okay, I'll grab it. I didn't have a copy, but I borrowed a copy, and so I read it this week. And man, what a powerful book, especially when it comes into some of the dealings with what I want to speak about this morning. And then another person sent me some information that I saw and glanced at and read, and we'll feed a little bit into this as well. And so maybe I should tell you exactly what we're going to be talking about even as we go into February. Pastor Gary's going to share in the next couple weeks on some messages on the disciplines, and then Pastor Simon's going to wrap us up in early February. And then we want to go into some messages on relationships. And one of the messages I'm looking at right at the moment is called Messy Relationships. And I'm not sure if you've got one of those in your life or have developed one in your life, or you're working hard at one of those messy relationships. So if you've got information or some challenges or illustrations, then I would love to hear from you and interact with you about those thoughts in the weeks ahead. But that's just some of the things that we're looking at. And I'm sure as even as Pastor Gary develops different things, and that he would love to hear from you as well if you've been challenged in some areas and have some thinking on some of the things that he's going to be sharing about as well. I've titled my message this morning, Making the Choice to Forgive, and it's not a subject that we like to deal with. In fact, I'm sure if we had a choice, we would rather do anything but forgive. It would be something that we normally run away from, and it's often something that keeps us from doing something because then I'll have to ask for forgiveness, and that's kind of the thing that terrorizes, and I'm not sure if you've had to do this in your own life in the past. Trust that you have developed a habit of forgiveness and asking for forgiveness when the need arises. But let me just begin with opening up in a word of prayer. Dear Father, thank you this morning for the disciplines that you speak of in the Word of God, and how, Heavenly Father, you challenge us even in this area of that when we offend or when we are offended by somebody else, and you ask us to forgive and to choose the road of forgiveness. Not an easy road, a humbling road. But yet, Heavenly Father, that you beseech us as your children to be quick to forgive. And so, Heavenly Father, may you show us into your truth this morning. We pray in your name. Amen. Maybe you've heard some of these expressions. I will never forgive them for what they did to me. Maybe some of those acts that were perpetrated against you gave a response, man, that's the last time. I'm never going to forgive them for what they did to me. That was the last straw. Now they're going to pay for what they did. You may think it took me this far, but no further, and now they're going to get everything that I can give them. They must be at a new level of stupid for doing what they did. And so we often, those thoughts are going through our mind. Payback is coming. Good luck in getting any support from me. This friendship is over. That person or group needs to pay for what they did, and we look forward towards creative ways to dish out justice for what they did. Maybe that's your response when injustice comes into your life. We instantly move towards anger. We move towards being offended. We move towards wanting to lash back. And it seems to be in our flesh a natural response that maybe you have, but I know definitely that's often been my response in the past. I look for ways to dish back. After all, they need to learn that there are consequences for what they did. You speed, you get a ticket. Go through a red light, you get a ticket. And I'm simply doing right by them for their actions. That is often one response when injustice takes place. When injustice comes into your life, one of the responses that we can have is we seek to lash back and we seek to attack. But there's also another response that we can have as well. And that we can withdraw and separate from the offensive person or group. See, this is a big country, and we do not have to stay and accept this. Another business will value my talents, or another church will appreciate my unique gift set. And so we can either seek to go outward and attack, or we can seek to withdraw. Depending on the type of character that you have is the response for that injustice that you will have. And I believe that both directions are wrong and are not what God would have us to do. See, in this world, we're all going to face injustices. And how we respond to them will either lead to growth or will lead to our destruction. How you respond to this injustice that is going to come, we can't escape it, because we're living in a world that has stepped into sin and we have sin natures. And whether we knowingly commit acts of injustice against somebody else or involuntarily commit injustices, injustices are going to take place. And how we, the body of Christ, act upon those injustices is a reflection of our life, is also a reflection of the gospel in our lives as well. Our decision to practice forgiveness and walk in the discipline of forgiveness will have consequences greater than just outward focus, but will also affect us individually. And when we come to that place where we see the need for forgiveness, we not only can give that forgiveness to somebody else, which was outward focused, but unforgiveness has an effect upon us as well. Unforgiveness will imprison believers in their past. Someone has said, to forgive is to set the prisoner free and then discover the prisoner was you. You imprison yourself when you seek to walk a road of unforgiveness. Unforgiveness keeps the sore open. It never allows the wound to heal. Secondly, unforgiveness produces bitterness. But not just bitterness, stress disorders, anxiety, negativity affect the immune system. We talk about high blood pressure. We talk about other health issues. And maybe a lot of the health issues that we are facing in our lives today are a direct reflection on whether we have ever come to that place where we have sought to forgive somebody else for an act of injustice against us. Bitterness is one of those things that we are affected by. The longer believers dwell on offenses committed against them, the more bitter they become. Bitterness is not just a sin, it is an infection. If you were to look at Hebrews 12, verse 15 with me, it says, "See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled." He uses the illustration here of a root of bitterness. And it's almost like a root begins to grow. And often we don't see the roots initially in our lives. When we seek to walk the road of unforgiveness, it's like a root begins to grow. And from that root, we see a whole thing spring up from that, which causes trouble. And here is not a question whether it will or it won't. It will cause trouble in your life if you continue to allow it to remain. And if you don't take the shovel and seek to get that root out. It's like going around your yard and start seeking to take care of the dandelions. You can't just lob off the tops of the dandelions. They seemingly come back and even they invite all their friends to come along with them when you seek to do that. And so if you don't take care of the root of bitterness in your life, it will grow. But it will not only cause you trouble, but many will be defiled as well. That bitterness will seek to move out. And in our family history, I saw that took place with some difficulties my dad had in business with another Christian gentleman. Bitterness developed in some of my family members. And I don't know if it ever got fully taken care of in some of my family members as they were bitter against this gentleman for what he seemingly had done to my father. And I'm not sure the full story. I'm sure there's probably two sides to the story. I just saw the one side. But I saw the result of allowing a root of bitterness to begin to grow. A bitter person's speech is cutting. It's sarcastic. It's slanderous. Bitterness distorts a person's whole outlook on life, producing violent emotions, intolerance, and even thoughts of revenge. Who knows where the root of bitterness will take you and the results of that root of bitterness? You seemingly think it's a simple act of revenge. But it can mean far more when we seek to act on it in somebody's life. Unforgiveness gives Satan an open door as well. Ephesians 4, verse 27 says, "And do not give the devil an opportunity." See, the devil is going about as a roaring lion, we know that. But yet we give opportunities for him to come in and attack us. And we don't need to give him any more than he already is seeking to find. 2 Corinthians 2 verses 10 and 11 also shares with us, "But one whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For indeed what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, I did it for your sakes in the presence of Christ, so that no advantage would be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes." When you allow that root to remain in your life, unforgiveness in your life, then you are giving an open door, an area of attack, because Satan would love nothing greater than to come in and to build on that act, to show you the justification of that act, to show you the seemingly righteousness of that act, and thereby never to actually take it and deal with it. It is no exaggeration to say that most of the ground Satan gains in our lives is due to unforgiveness. If we allow a root of unforgiveness to remain, we are allowing an open door for Satan to move in on that. Unforgiveness hinders fellowship with God as well. Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15. "For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions." The importance of fellowship here, and there's two different aspects to forgiveness that we need to understand. There's the aspect of judicial forgiveness, which you can find in Ephesians 1 and verse 7. When we trust Christ as our Lord and Savior, we receive forgiveness from the penalty of sin. When we come in faith and repentance before Christ, he gives us judicial forgiveness in his sight. We become a child of God, and that is something different than what we are seeing in this passage here this morning. What we're seeing here in this passage is what we might call parental forgiveness. When we as believers confess our sins, we receive parental forgiveness, as we see in 1 John 1 verse 9. This maintains fellowship with God, our Father. Forgiveness then belongs to the matter of fellowship. In our fellowship, our relationship, what God wants us to enjoy as his children, that we might enjoy life to the fullest, has an aspect of coming back into this area of forgiveness. If I'm not in fellowship with God, I cannot pray effectively. We as redeemed children of God are forever members of the family of God. But as occurs when family members harbor unforgiveness, the day-to-day experiential relationship, communication is disturbed and disrupted. And if you ever grew up with any siblings, then you might know the whole area of unforgiveness and the whole area of communication that is affected by that. The relationship in the family seemingly is pulled apart for a brief period of time. Jesus is not saying you're in danger of losing your salvation, but you are sure to not experience the joy of your salvation, which he desires that you might experience to the full. God has given us the opportunity to experience joy in the fullness in his presence. And an aspect of that is this: when we allow unforgiveness, then we don't experience all that God desires to give and desires to bless us with. The idea of forgiveness here means to send away. To send away from oneself. It refers to the act of putting something away or of laying it aside. And as used here, means to let go of the obligation another person owes you because of sin. And so what Jesus here is communicating with us, are we willing to let it go, whatever that offense is that was committed against us, even if it was unjust, even if it was sinful that was committed against us? Are we willing to come to the place where we are willing to send it away, and the obligation the other person has towards us? The point is that believers who have been forgiven so great a debt against God are new creations in Christ, with a new heart and the Holy Spirit. And thus they have the power and the call in their lives to forgive one another as they have been forgiven by God. If we were to stop and think of all that God took on our behalf to forgive us, it would be far greater than anything somebody else has committed against us. To not do so is a rebellious, blatant, open act of a disobedience, representing a willful choice. Ephesians 4:32 shares this with us: "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." I'm not sure if you've ever taken any grammar lessons, but when you look at that "just as Christ, sorry, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. He's talking about in like manner, kind of the similarities. As God has forgiven you, you in like manner are then to carry that forgiveness that he has given to you and carry it out in the lives of those around about you in a similar way. We are 100% responsible while at the same time 100% dependent on God's Spirit to accomplish this supernatural forgiveness. How do we come to that place? Wow, somebody committed that act against us. That we come to that place, can I let it go? Can I let them outside of the offense they committed against me? We may come to the place where we see God's command for us to forgive and the benefits of it. But questions are raised in our minds about how to do it in the situation you are in. What actually is this forgiveness? What does it look like and how do we carry it out in our lives day by day? We need to understand what it is not. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Deep hurt can rarely be wiped out of one's awareness. We can't just go into our brains and seek to delete it. It's always going to be a memory, but are we going to allow that memory to rule our actions and rule our lives? And so forgiveness is not forgetting. It is not reconciliation. As good as in the desire of our hearts should be towards reconciliation, the act of forgiveness is not reconciliation. Reconciliation takes two people, but an injured party can forgive an offender without reconciliation. You can forgive somebody else without going through reconciliation, because sometimes that is impossible, but we're still called to forgive the offending party against us. We're still called upon to forgive as much as we should desire reconciliation, but that's another step down the road. It is not condoning either. Forgiveness does not necessarily excuse bad or hurtful behavior. We're not saying, often when somebody comes to us, so I'm sorry for doing this, and it's all, no, it's, sorry, it's not a big deal, forget about it. That's not the act of going through forgiveness either. Because then what we're saying is that we're cheapening out the act that they committed against us. It might be a sinful act that is committed against us. And so this action of forgiving is not condoning, is not agreeing or accepting what they did either. It is not dismissing either. Forgiveness involves taking the offense seriously, not passing it off as inconsequential or insignificant, as we often seek to do when somebody commits an act against us and they come up and say, sorry for doing this. Sorry, it was nothing. It was not a big deal. Forget about it. No, we need to work through the steps and say, yes, I accept your sorry. I accept your forgiveness for that if they come to us, that we don't dismiss it. But it is also not pardoning either. A pardon is a legal transaction that releases an offender from the consequences of an action, such as a penalty. We can forgive. We might come to the place where the action that they did is also was an offendable, and they have to go through the motions and what takes place to make things right as well. Forgiveness is a personal transaction that releases the one offended from the offense. Wow, I've been offended. But God calls upon me to release the offender. Can I do that? And it's a forgiveness means surrendering your claim to resentment and letting go of anger. Forgiveness is essentially a matter of the heart. This is a hugely important point because most of us think forgiveness is primarily about what we do or what we say. We cheapen out the whole act of forgiveness when we just go, oh, please forgive me, and make it cheapen it out. But it's a matter that comes from the heart. It's quite possible to mouth kind words of forgiveness while harboring anger and bitterness within, and we haven't truly come to the place where we have released what that offense against us. Forgiveness begins in the heart and eventually works its way outward. There is a profound sense in which all forgiveness, even forgiving someone who hurt you deeply, is between you and God. The relationship, as God interacts with our hearts and he challenges us on the offense, and can we offer that forgiveness? Often it begins with a relationship between us and God. Peter asked Jesus how many times he should forgive the brother who sins against him. And we know that the rabbi said to forgive three times was a noble gesture. Wow, to forgive even three times for an act. And so Peter's being generous when he says seven times. But Jesus moves the point out to 70 times seven, indicating that we are to forgive an unlimited number of times. Even if the person keeps coming back to us, can we continue to seek and to offer forgiveness from the heart for what they did against us? And Jesus is challenging us to forgive an unlimited number of times. We have heard the statement, swindle me once, shame on you. Swindle me twice, shame on me. Basically teaching that it is our fault if we allow it to happen more than once. But God is showing us that our forgiving should never stop for another brother. Can we forgive and keep on forgiving? Forgiveness is not an optional part of the Christian's life. It is a necessary part of what it means to be a Christian. If we're going to follow Jesus, we must forgive, and we must forgive as God has forgiven us freely, completely, graciously, and totally. As he's forgiven us, we are to take that forgiveness to others as well. We will forgive to the extent we appreciate how much we have been forgiven. Once we begin to understand and God shows us in a small way and opens our minds and our hearts up to the degree that he's forgiven us, I think we'll directly forget, will directly affect our degree of forgiveness. The best incentive to forgiveness is to remember how much God has already forgiven you. Luke 7:47 says, he who is forgiven little loves little. It is possible to forgive the unforgivable by remembering that the people who are hurting you do not really know what they are doing. Often we are seeking to work out of our hearts, and our actions, we don't necessarily understand why we went through the actions that we did. Jesus from the cross said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing, in Luke 23:34. The key is not the fact that they do not know. The fact is what? They do not know what it is and what it really means. And so when they took Jesus to the cross and he had said, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing, they were seeking to respond out of the actions of anger against what he had been speaking about, but they didn't understand the full implications of their actions. Secondly, it's possible to forgive the unforgivable by remembering that Jesus forgave us when we were unforgivable. At the root, what keeps us from forgiving the people who hurt us is that we think we're better than they are. Isn't that often a reflection? Well, that person is a new level of disgusting for doing what they did. And so we always put ourselves up here. Everybody else is down there. We need to understand who we are and what God has forgiven us from. See, we would never hurt anybody the way that they'd hurt us. I'm just not as bad as that. I'd never treat anybody the way they treated me. See, we can judge what people do. We cannot judge why they do it. We can't see the heart and the heart behind their actions. We can judge their actions as wrong and as unjust. But why did they do what they did? And we can't see the heart. We can judge what people say. We cannot judge why they said what they did. We can't see the heart. Only God can judge the hidden secrets of the heart. We know that the heart is more deceitful than all else and desperately sick, as we've memorized in Jeremiah 17:9. If we truly understood our hearts, if we truly understood the hearts of mankind, then we would maybe come to a new, greater degree of understanding of why we see the injustices around us. Forgiveness starts with God, comes down to us, and then as we learned in Ephesians 4:32, we are to forgive as God has forgiven us. God showed us forgiveness. And if you're a child of God, then you walk through his judicial forgiveness. And he modeled what forgiveness looks like. And he continually models forgiveness to us, as we saw there in 1 John 1:9. As he continues to forgive us. We are to extend grace to others as God has extended grace to us. We, the undeserving who have been showered with God's grace in Christ, are to give to other undeserving sinners who have sinned against us the same outpouring of grace. And so as we understand, as God shows us the grace that he's extended in our own lives, we can then take that same grace and extend it to others as well, and extend to them and show them and model God's grace in their lives. See, forgiveness is a choice. It's not a feeling. God never says forgive them if you feel like it. How many times would we actually come to that place of forgiveness if we actually came to that place where, well, now I feel like forgiving them? We probably would very rarely ever come to that place. It is a choice you make in your heart. Sometimes we hear people say, he doesn't deserve to be forgiven. And of course he doesn't. No one deserves forgiveness. Forgiveness isn't earned. And if a person could earn forgiveness, he wouldn't need it in the first place. It is a gift of mercy that you give to someone who has hurt you. And so what you do is you are seeking to model the character of Christ by extending grace, by extending mercy to them as God has extended his mercy and his grace to us. This gift is given to the other person, but it remains often between you and God. Often it begins in our own hearts, because as we seek often to reach out in forgiveness to another person, that other person isn't ready to forgive. But you can make a choice in your own hearts that I'm going to forgive that other person for what they did against me. And it begins in your own heart as God deals with your heart, and as you release what they did against you, we can begin the process of forgiveness in our own hearts. Our attitude, our relationship to the other person can change even if their relationship towards us does not change, which is the whole area of reconciliation. But forgiveness can start in our own hearts. The other person may never know that you have come to that place of forgiveness. When you forgive, God knows and you know, and that's what matters. And the result is a change in the way you feel and act towards that other person. We can change our actions towards that other person. Forgiveness is not about fairness, it's about grace. Forgiveness is an event and a process. It is both an event in the sense that you must come to a place where you decide to forgive, and it is a process that often must be repeated over time. As God continues to bring us to that place, yeah, I forgave them. God, teach me how to move forward with a new relationship, with a new attitude towards that other person. When we submit our will, heart, to the control of the Spirit, he can change our hearts, and we can come to the place of forgiveness for the injustices against us. I believe often when we can be honest, we can pray honestly before God and say, God, I sure am enjoying the feelings I got towards that other individual. I know my attitude isn't right, but God, I'm allowing you to change my heart. I'm allowing you to control my heart and to move in and change my attitude. You know what? The Spirit is faithful with a prayer like that. And he moves in and he starts cleaning out, and we see over time how our attitude changes. And God brings us to that place, okay, God, I forgive that other person for what they did. I don't agree with what they did. It hurt a lot. But God, with your strength and your enabling grace, I'm going to come to the place, to the foot of the cross, and say, God, I forgive, I release, I let go of the offense that he committed against me. Our actions towards the other individual will begin to change with the help of the Spirit. The other party may never choose to forgive, and reconciliation may not take place, but we can walk forward in the freedom of forgiveness. Our hearts can walk in freedom even if reconciliation doesn't ever come or is not possible for whatever reason. As much as we may desire reconciliation, as much as we should seek and pursue reconciliation, we can begin with our own hearts in this area of forgiveness. Are we seeing growth or are we seeing destruction in our relationships? As you look around the relationships that you have before this pandemic, during this pandemic, do we have to come to the place where we go to somebody else and seek reconciliation? But let's begin with forgiveness. God, I don't agree with what they said. I don't agree with what I saw on Facebook. I don't agree with what they sent me in an email or whatever. But God, I'm going to forgive them for the offense. And God, I'm going to move forward with a new attitude. And we can, because God has modeled it for us. God has demonstrated it for us. And he's asking us, his children, to begin to walk forward in forgiveness, being unoffended and not allowing offenses to rule our lives, but we can walk forward in freedom. Let's ask God for that in our own lives. As God brings those people into your minds this morning, whoever they may be, God, I want to begin down the road of forgiveness. And let's begin to model what God has modeled for us and has demonstrated to us in our own lives. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for your word. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you forgive. If we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And thank you, Heavenly Father, that's not just once, and it's not that you come and say, oh man, not again. But Heavenly Father, your mercy is beyond understanding. Your grace shames us daily. And pray, Heavenly Father, that you might do a work in our hearts to change us, that we might model forgiveness to others as well as you have modeled it to us. And thank you for your grace in our lives. We pray this all in your name. Amen. May God continue to challenge you in different things.